Perhaps you are here right now and you are struggling with whether or not to trust and obey God. It's a struggle we all go through. Maybe you are struggling with a certain area of your life. Whether or not to trust and obey God in this certain area. You're going through a struggle right now. Or maybe you're struggling about your whole life in general. Should I totally surrender to God? If you're here, and that is your struggle, your inner struggle, then this sermon is for you. Would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 139 and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your right hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in your everlasting way. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes? The Lord would speak truth into your life right now. You're struggling with whether or not to surrender to God. We've all been there. Pray that God would bless you with the truth today. pray that God would give you the strength to surrender. Pray for the other people in this room right now. Other people are struggling with whether or not to surrender to God in a certain area of their life, or perhaps their life in general. Pray for them right now. Now would you pray for me that I would be emptied of self, that I may exalt the Lord? Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and bless our time together. And not only our time, but New Life Community, La Quinta, and all other churches meeting in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You're struggling with whether or not to obey God in a certain area of your life, or perhaps your whole life in general. I have been there. We've all been there. And this morning I want to give you four reasons to surrender to God. Four reasons to surrender to God. They're in your notes, in your bulletin. You should have notes. Four reasons to surrender to God. Number one, in your notes, God created you and knows you perfectly. God created you and knows you perfectly. Amen? Psalm 139, most of it gives us this beautiful piece of information. God created you and knows you perfectly. Look on the screen behind me, or you can follow along in your Bible. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. As it says on the screen there, look at it closely. It says, God knit us together inside our mother's womb. God saw our unformed substance. God knows us perfectly. God knows you, brothers and sisters. He knows you better than you know yourself. much better. In fact, if you really think it through, your knowledge of yourself is very, very limited. You think you know yourself pretty well, but only God truly knows you. Think about this practical thought. People come to me sometimes, "Pastor Dave, who should I go to for advice?" And you always want to go to someone godly. But second in importance, or maybe third, would be someone that knows you really well. God knows you perfectly. He knows you completely. He knows you better than you. He knows everything there is to know about you. He created you, and He knows you intimately, and His ways are right for you. Every single time. You can trust Him. Number two in your notes. Not only does God know you perfectly, the fact of the matter is that God sees and knows everything perfectly. God sees and knows everything perfectly. When I was in college, I went to one of my friend's bachelor parties. This was a strong Christian friend. So I was confident going to his bachelor party because I knew that it would be a nice, clean, fun event. And of course, his best man was in charge, and we went to Boomers, not Boomers here, because I didn't live here, but we went to a place similar to Boomers. It was huge. Much bigger than our local park, and it had a maze for people. It was colossal. And you go into the maze, you're the mouse or whatever, and you have to figure your way out through the maze. You're walking through halls and corridors and all of this stuff, and you all know that my sense of direction is poor. And I went into this maze, and I just got lost. I just got lost in the maze. And that's kind of nerve-wracking, and it's not really all that much fun. And I'm racing around trying to find my way out, and I was just plain lost. And I was about 20, early 20s. So I simply climbed up onto the wall of the maze and stood on the wall, and from that vantage point, I could see where I needed to go, and I planned my escape. And I jumped back down, and I got out of the maze. Now, it was like a race between me and my friends to see who could get out first. And I cheated, and I admit that to all of you, but I made my way out of the maze because I climbed up to where I could see everything. Life is a maze, isn't it? Life is a maze. It is difficult. It is hard. It is very confusing. And I want you to know that God can see the whole thing. And that's why you should trust Him. He sees everything. Psalm 139 says, "He sees in the dark. Darkness and light are the same to God." That's easy to understand, isn't it? I mean, scientifically, God's eyes are not based on light like ours are. He can see everything perfectly, and He knows everything perfectly. Look at Job 28:24 behind me on the screen. "For He looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." God sees everything, and He doesn't just see everything, He knows everything as well. He knows the future perfectly. Amen? He knows the future perfectly. Look at Isaiah behind me. Isaiah 46:9-10. "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning." and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God declares the end from the beginning. He sees the future. He knows the future. He plans the future. He is in control of the future. He knows everything perfectly. There's nothing that he does not see or know. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, behind me on the screen. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. God knows everything. And when you and I are so arrogant to think that we know better than God, we have no idea what we're talking about. The book of Job is an awesome, awesome book. Believe it or not, it's about a guy named Job. Very good. Job has been blessed by God, but God allows Satan to bring unthinkable trials into Job's life. So all throughout the book, Job is complaining about his situation. Finally, at the end of the book, God speaks to Job and basically says, who are you to question me? Now, I want you to think of this. Go ahead and turn with me to Job, please. Job chapter 38. You're in the Psalms, so Job is just one book behind you. Job 38. And I want you to think of this in terms of we are questioning God. You and I have this situation in our lives, and we're too scared to do it God's way. We're not sure if God knows what he's talking about. We're not sure if God's way is the right way. We're struggling. We're going to hang on and do it our way. I've had this struggle. Some of you are having it today. Look at Job. Verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Trinity Baptist, behold the greatness of God. Look at this chapter. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me. If you have understanding, who set its measures? Since you know, or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors? When bursting forth it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors, and I said, thus far you shall come, but no further, and here shall your proud waves stop. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way of the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the path to its home. You know, for you have borne then, the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail? which I've reserved for the time of distress, for the day of war and battle? Where is the way that the light is divided, or the east wind scattered on the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt to bring rain on a land without people, on a desert without a man on it, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass to sprout? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given it birth? Water comes hard like stone, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Can you bind the chains of Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season? God is talking about the stars and how He creates and sustains and controls all of it. And guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water will cover you? Can you send forth lightning that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind? Who can count the clouds by wisdom or tip the water jars of the heavens when the dust hardens into a mass and the clods stick together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of young lions? When they crouch in their dens and lie in wait in their lair, who prepares for the ravens its nourishments when its young cry to God and wander about without food? Who are we to question God? He is so awesome. His ways and His knowledge and His power and His benevolence and His goodness and His greatness are beyond searching, beyond explaining, beyond finding out. He's right, and we're wrong. Look at Job's response to this behind me on the screen. Job 42. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Talking about himself. Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. The proper response. Are you struggling with surrendering to God? Oh, brother, oh, sister, oh, dear friend, He knows so much more than you. Psalm 147:5, behind me on the screen. Great is our Lord, and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Number three reason why you should surrender to God. Maybe you're struggling in a specific area of your life, or maybe your entire life. Number three, God loves you perfectly. God loves you perfectly. Look at 1 John 4 behind me on the screen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God is love. He loves you more than anyone else in the entire world does. He loves you more than your parents do. And I'm saying that as a parent. parents, God loves your children much more than you do. He loves you more than your best friend does. He loves you more than your husband. He loves you more than your wife loves you. He loves you more than anyone. It should be easy to trust someone who loves me perfectly. One of my favorite memories of my father is when he took me rock climbing. Now, the adventurers in the room, like the Gerard here and the other adventurers, are going to think like, you know, what is that El Capitan or whatever it is? This huge thing. That is not the picture you should have in your mind. He took me rock climbing. I was like 6 or something. And in my memory, the rocks were like... And they were probably like this. I don't know. But he takes me rock climbing. And I'm climbing like a 6 or 7 year old boy would do. And I'm going way, way, way high. And I'm having a blast. Not thinking through the situation. I'm just climbing. It never occurs to me that I have to get back down. So I'm going nuts. And all of a sudden, my dad is way down there. In reality, he was not really that far away. But he's way down there, and I turn around, and I panicked. Because, I'm so high. In reality, you know, I'm probably like 8 feet in the air, but I don't know how to get down, and I panicked. And my dad could see that I panicked. And he's standing there, and he says, David, jump. I'll catch you. I was way too scared to do that. So I just froze. And he says, David, jump. I'll catch you. And there's no way I was going to do that. I was just too scared. There's no way I was going to jump. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was a defining moment in my life. He looked me straight in the eye. And he said, son, would Daddy ever tell you to do something that's going to hurt you? I jumped immediately. Because the minute he said that, I knew it was true. Those of you know that I had a wonderful relationship with my dad. He's in heaven now. But we had a wonderful relationship, and my dad loved me unconditionally and incredibly, far less than God does. But he loved me, and when he said, would Daddy ask you to do anything that hurts you, I knew in my 6-year-old heart that he wouldn't, and I jumped immediately. God loves you perfectly and completely. Please trust him. You can trust him. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you. And he will never, ever, ever give you bad advice. He will never, ever, ever, ever give you bad guidance. He will never, ever, ever give you a command that is wrong. Most of the time when you obey God, it benefits you directly. It benefits you directly. The blessings and benefits of obedience are so great. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. When you live your life God's way, the benefits of that keep piling up the longer you walk in obedience. The longer you walk in obedience, the blessings and benefits keep piling up. But we all know that sometimes obeying God is very costly. Sometimes it will cost you something. Many of our brothers and sisters have obeyed the Lord, and it cost them their families. It cost them their jobs. It cost them their lives. But it is always, always, always to their ultimate good and blessing. I wish that I could bring a martyr through those doors. Someone who went on the mission field and was killed trying to share the gospel with a tribe somewhere on the other side of the world. I wish I could bring them through those doors right now. They would come up here and they would stand here and they would say, I'm so glad I trusted and obeyed God. And I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. Look at Matthew 5 behind me on the screen. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do you think any of the people that suffered persecution, any of them, any of the people that have suffered and been tortured and been martyred or killed for the sake of Jesus, you think any of them are sitting up in heaven right now going, man, I really got taken? They are rejoicing. And if they could come here right now, they would do it all over again. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Talks about people who were murdered, stabbed, beaten, imprisoned, tortured, naked, hungry, homeless, all because they chose Jesus. Why did they do it? Because they were looking for the eternal reward. God loves you. And God is good. And God's will and God's way is to pour out His goodness on His children. That's who He is. Why don't we trust Him? Why don't we trust Him? Obedience is always the beneficial thing for you to do. The opposite is true. God loves you, God is good, and when you disobey, it is always, always bad for you. Trust Him. There's a fourth reason why you and I should surrender to God. You're in a struggle right now. Am I going to surrender to God in this certain area? There's a fourth reason why. It's very simple. Number four, God is God, and you are not. I have it as number four, but it's really number one. And it's simply this. You should obey God because He is God. You should obey God because He is God. He is in authority. And the bottom line is this. You can obey God because you think it's good for you, and it is. You can obey God because He loves you, and He does. You can obey God because He created you, and He did. You can obey God because He knows everything, and He does. But the bottom line is this. If you disobey, you are in rebellion against His authority. He is God, and you are not. And this is the main reason to obey Him. I was in college with my dear friend Jim, who ended up being the best man at my wedding. And we were talking about stuff, and I don't know how it came up. But you know how people will be sharing the gospel? And you're out sharing the gospel, and you ask this simple question, will you make Jesus Lord of your life? And my friend Jim Nocco says, whoa, hold on a minute. Will you make Jesus Lord of your life? And my friend Jim says, you do not make Jesus Lord of your life. He is Lord. Amen. Whether you acknowledge that or not. The question is, do you accept that? Or will you rebel? The number one reason, it's number four on our list, but the number one reason you should obey God in every area of your life is because He is God. You don't need any other reason. And neither do I. Look at Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. End of discussion. God is God. Our dear brother Saku has land near the Salton Sea, and he invited me up to pray with him for the weekend one time, and wow, how great is that? So I made plans and I drove up there. When I arrived, it was night. I worked here all day, got my vehicle and went up to the Salton Sea, and I arrived at his property and it's night, and he had a fire going and some food, and we just sat there on the fire as the stars came up. And he says, Dave, you see that? I said, yeah. He goes, for God. For God. You see that one? For God. You see that one? For God. And he kept going. You see that tree? For God. The sea? For God. The animals? For God. The plants? For God. You? For God. We exist to serve and worship God. And that's why we should obey Him. I want you to pretend some for me. I'm almost done. This might be a little ridiculous, but just pretend with me for a second. Let's say that you were a teacher, and you applied at Indio High School, and you were accepted to teach at Indio High School. It's your first day. You walk into your classroom, and this guy walks in, and he says, "Hey, welcome to Indio. You know, your first day of teaching. That's great. I'll be your mentor. I'll coach you. I'll guide you." And you say, "Well, you know, that's very kind of you, but I have no idea who you are. So let me think about that." So he leaves. He says, "That's fine." And you do your research on the guy, and you learn four things about him. Number one, he created you. That might be a little creepy, but he created you. So he knows you perfectly. Number two, he knows everything there is to know about everything. Number three, he loves you perfectly. In fact, it turns out he died for you. You didn't realize that, but he did. And number four, he's actually the principal, so you got to do what he says anyway. He comes back the next day. What are you going to say? He created you. He knows everything. He loves you. And he's the boss. This is the situation that we're all in. But much, much, much bigger. You're in a struggle this morning. Will you surrender to God in a certain area of your life? I want to remind you, God created you. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows everything about everything. He loves you perfectly, and He is in charge. Look at how David closes Psalm 139. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." David has the appropriate response. When he learned about God, he looks up and says, "God, I'm yours. See if there's anything wrong in me and lead me to your way. I surrender all." I pray that you and I would have the grace and strength to surrender completely to God.